You know what's cool is we sing those songs of worship and praise, and we say, God, I want to know you more. I want to hear your voice. But in all actuality, what does that truly mean? How intimate do you really want to know God? And what if his voice tells you to do something totally bold, totally crazy in your eyes? Are you going to listen to it? If he tells you to go suffer somewhere, are you going to go suffer somewhere? If he tells you to go to do this, to leave a job, to do whatever, are you going to do it? And as Christians, we sing those songs, but do we honestly mean them from the depths of our heart? Do you really, truly want to know God more? Do you truly, really want to hear his voice more? And what do you do in those times when it's unbelievable? Will you be excited? Will you be bummed out? Will you be both? Well, something to think about, right? That's better. Cool. So let's go to and open up in prayer. Father God, we just come before you, and we just thank you for this day. Thank you for meeting us here, Lord, as we gather in your name. Fill this room with your spirit. Fill our hearts with your spirit. Convict us if need be. Speak to us in this time, Lord. We thank you for such a beautiful day. In Jesus' name, amen. So we need boldness, right, in those situations when God's speaking to us, when we want to know God more, and he's telling us to take this huge leap of faith, or telling you to go talk to this person, or telling you to go do this. And sometimes we're scared. Sometimes we're not. We're like, dude, I'll do that in a heartbeat, no problem. But today, I just want to share my heart again, once again. I've been doing it for the past few weeks, right? It's been really interesting. I've been enjoying it a lot. It's quite interesting. God has really put something on my heart and an amazing passage, and I'm sure you guys have heard it many times before, and I'm sure you guys probably even know it. But it's definitely talking about boldness. And I want you guys to turn in your Bible, if you guys have a Bible. Do you guys not have a Bible? One, two, three. Okay. Well, as Frank gets the Bibles, let me just... 5, 2, 3. Make it 6. So boldness is much needed, right? You know, it's interesting. I heard about this Christian in I think it was North Korea, who on the radio this past week, he's about to be publicly executed because he is a Christian. And the U.S. And along with his brother are trying to do everything possible to not allow that to happen. Sorry, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. But this dude, this guy in North Korea, he's totally being bold, and he doesn't care if it costs him his life to lay down to proclaim the name of Jesus. This dude has incredible boldness, and at the same time, it's kind of sad because, well, persecution and martyrdom is always sad, but it's also encouraging at the same time. So today is about boldness. Verse 16 of chapter 28. Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. So what's going on right here? I'm sure we've all heard of it plenty of times. It's called the Great Commission, right? But what does it truly mean? What is taking place when Jesus gave this Great Commission? Well, he's now resurrected from the dead. He met up with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. But what's surprising is that they doubted. Some doubted. As we notice in verse 17, it says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. That's incredible. I mean, think about that. Jesus predicted his death three times. His death and his resurrection. And now they see Jesus again. As some were worshiping, some were doubting. But notice what Jesus says in the next verse. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He doesn't... I love it. It's so awesome how God just has so much power and so much control of our lives. How Jesus has complete authority in heaven and on earth. What? Here is God manifest, made visible. He worked all these miracles. He lived a perfect sinless life. Who took up the cross, which he died on for me and for you. And yet, he has complete control. Are you serious? Man, how amazing God is. And you want to talk about boldness, about... Look at verse 19, the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, not only is it a commission, it's also a commandment, right? A lot of people think that it's go. No, it's make disciples. That is the Great Commission. That is the commandment that Jesus is speaking of right here. Have you guys ever discipled anyone? No? Frank? Yeah? You? No? Well, take a new believer or...
Well, I think making a disciple...
It's challenging.
Well, let's take it. Making a disciple is an example, which is foremost. So you might have a friend like your mother. You're encouraging them to work.
Yeah.
Sense, but it can be
exactly.
Just your life, sharing the love that you have for Christ with somebody else. Hey, guys, don't you come sit up here?
You know, I love what my brother said a while back. He said, worship is not a once a week, twice a week thing. It's a lifestyle. And so is making disciples. And you guys have heard me say that your actions speak louder than words, and people will start to see the light in you. If you're living like a Christian, people wonder what's different about you. Well, it's the same sense of making disciples. But it says baptizing them in... Do you guys... Let me ask you. Is baptism essential for salvation? No? Right. It's not. Think about the thief on the cross. What Jesus said to him, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. As the thief was rebuking the other guy. And the thief didn't have time to be taken down. Jesus didn't say, hey, let's get this guy taken off the cross. We'll go walk down to the Jordan real quick. We're going to have a baptism and then we'll both be hanged back on the cross. And then we could die. No. Baptism is not essential for salvation. But what baptism is, it's an outward expression of your salvation. Just like a marriage, just like if you're married, you're going to wear your wedding ring. I mean, you could look at Frank's hand. There's no beginning, there's no end.
Oh my goodness, I'm not married anymore. I took my ring off. Is that true? Am I still married?
You're still married. But it's just an outward appearance to let people know, hey, I'm taken. I'm somebody else's. And that's exactly what baptism is. I think Kevin's having one next weekend. Am I right? I think it's next weekend. Or the next few weekends. Yeah, definitely. Get baptized. If you guys haven't made that decision, make that decision to get baptized. It's just an outward expression of your salvation. And think about it, Jesus got baptized. Why did Jesus get baptized? Anybody? No? Why did Jesus get baptized? If he's sinless and perfect, why does he need baptism?
To identify
humanity. Exactly. I mean, doesn't this get you excited, guys? When was the last time you guys have ever been excited about something that you just wanted to tell people? And you don't care what they thought of, just because you had so much joy and excitement about it that you could care less about what they say. Think about that. Maybe you guys won the game. Maybe, think about it. When was the last time you were absolutely excited about something that you had to tell everybody? Yeah, I'm sure you're ecstatic, right?
That was in the 20th century. I was an excited little baby. But it's, I remember, you know, when I got saved, and it's kind of weird how God worked in my life. It's just like different points. A new revelation. He's been very patient with me. But I remember when God spoke to my heart one Easter about the resurrection and how true it is, you know. And I just had to tell my friends. I remember calling an old friend from Arizona to tell him, you know,
cool.
God is so real.
Yeah. You know, one of the last times, actually, a few years ago, about 4.5 years ago, I remember my brother Donovan so pumped, so excited that him and his wife conceived and they're going to have a baby. He was super pumped. And then that got me pumped because finally I'm going to be an uncle. And I was like, I'm going to be an uncle. No stinking way. People would ask me, how's it going? Dude, it's going great. I'm going to be an uncle. And then when that day came, when I finally got to meet my nephew, man, I just couldn't help but want to tell people. And shortly after that, I came to know Christ. And then that night, me and my buddy went and hung out. And I just couldn't have fun. I couldn't enjoy myself. And we're hanging out, and we're driving back home. And I saw this homeless dude, and we started talking about being homeless and how people got rough and everything. And I started talking to him about it. Then I remember telling Donovan about it. Then I wanted to just share what just happened with me, of how I came to know Christ. And I remember that moment that I told my brother Donovan. I'm like, dude, you're not going to believe what happened to me this weekend. He said, what? I'm like, you might want to sit down for this. He's like, what just happened? He's expecting the worst news. I'm like, all right, dude, you ready? I became saved. My brother was more excited for me than I was. And I mean, aren't you guys excited about your salvation? About being a Christian, especially in this country, where we have the freedom and the right to gather together in His name, to read our Bibles, And it's such an amazing feeling. And I get so excited when I could just sit down at the park, at Starbucks, at anywhere, and open my Bible. And it's so exciting. And I was convicted the other day. I mean, as I'm studying and having some amazing quiet time, I just took a break and started noticing the people around me. What would happen? I thought of two scenarios. One, the most common. What would happen if the rapture was to happen right now? Where would these people go? And is their blood going to be on my hands? The reason being is because I haven't told them about God. Yeah, somebody may have told a mouse, but I haven't. I haven't fulfilled the Great Commission. Is their blood going to be on my hands when I go into heaven? Are they going to be going to hell because of my lack of telling them about God? And the other scenario that I was thinking about was stinking amazing. And I was thinking about it, I was like, oh, that would be so amazing if this happened exactly. The scenario was, what if I just got up in my chair and just yelled out, Jesus loves you, and started giving the gospel message in the middle of satellite or flying star? It was satellite. I mean, think about that. What would people think and what would people do and say if I was just to stand up in the middle of this, probably the busiest satellite coffee shop in Albuquerque, the one on UNM? What would happen if I was to be so bold that I started giving the gospel message in the middle of satellite where there's not one seat? Huh?
I think they would run. That'd probably be scary.
Exactly.
I think they would call you a Jesus freak. They'd call me
more than that. Exactly. Like, I was thinking about it, and I was trying not to laugh because, I mean, honestly, me and my buddy just had this amazing conversation of what God's doing in both our lives. He just took off, and then I started enjoying my study time and quiet time, and then, like, these scenarios popped in my mind. This is so funny. I'm like, I go from one extreme to, like, a whole other level of extreme and maybe persecution and, like, getting beaten up and getting arrested, you know, because I'm definitely going to defend myself. But God totally turned the other cheek and I left there peacefully. But, I mean, I was definitely convicted. What if these people were to die tonight? What would happen? Is there blood on my hands? And that's a serious issue, right? And we know the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. And these two, all the laws and the prophets are fulfilled. But I think this is also one of the strongest. The Great Commission is definitely one of the strongest commandments that Jesus speaks of. Such boldness. Remember a couple weeks ago, I was talking about the cost of following Christ, right? Talking about giving it all up to follow after Christ. Here's another extreme. He says, go therefore make disciples of all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. But in Mark, I like how Mark words it. Says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, he's not telling you to go preach the gospel to a worm, or not telling you to go preach the gospel to a giraffe or her dog. Hey, it doesn't say just to those who speak English. English isn't God's first language. It says, all the world, all the nations. Think about how many languages are in New Mexico alone. What do you got? You got Muslim, you got Chinese, Japanese, you got Spanish, English, Native American, you got Navajo, you got Portuguese, Philippines, Koreans. I mean, you got so much diversity of language. And you're going to find a Christian in just about every single one of those people groups. And that's the way it is. I mean, when you guys might remember, I think it was in December or January when I was telling you about that tribe in Papua New Guinea. Some of you guys were here, some of you guys weren't. You guys remember that? Where during Christmas, these missionaries, after 2.5 years, finally translated the Bible in their language. For Christmas Eve, they finally got the gospel message. And when it was translated, the video is incredible. This one guy, he's translating and says at the end, "It is good. It is good." And he's talking about the Bible and the gospel. And these people shout and rejoice for 2.5 hours. This tribe of maybe 100, 200 people. 2.5 hours nonstop, and they're going crazy. I mean, it sounds like a football stadium packed with 18, 20,000 plus people. And here it is, a tribe of only maybe 200 people. And that was the first time they heard the gospel. And here we are, gathering every week, studying our Bibles every day. At least we should be. And we're not excited. Why aren't we excited as Christians to go tell people about Christ? Something to think about, right? Something real heavy to think about. Man, I challenge you guys this week to get excited about Christ. Ignite your fire for Him. Definitely.
Because, this flesh of ours stinks and gets in the way a lot of times.
Oh, it definitely does. But you know what's awesome? He says baptizing them in the name, singular, not names, but name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. 3 in 1. He's talking about the Trinity right here. A lot of people will challenge the Trinity. Here's a good passage. Another good passage for defending the Trinity is when Jesus gets baptized. You might remember that. But the Trinity is real. And a lot of people will try to bring doubt in your mind about it. But throughout Scripture, we see the Father, we see the Son, and we see the Holy Spirit. All acting in accord, all of distinct individual personhoods. And each one of them works in their own way, but they're all one person. Isn't that amazing? And now, I could go further in depth about the Trinity, but I don't want to bother your minds too much. And yeah, it's really hard to grasp. And Frank probably doesn't grasp the whole idea of how the Trinity works. That's something that our finite, puny little tiny minds can't grasp. It's how three individuals are one. But in verse 20, notice that it says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded with you. All right, so what is he talking about when he says teaching them? What's that? Tell him. I like how some Southerners say, learn him. But does that mean that in my situation or Frank's situation, we're up here teaching you guys every Sunday? Or Kevin's, or Pastor Skip, or Dave Rao, or any other pastor? Does that mean you have to be a pastor to teach people? No. Because as we see in Ephesians 4, that some were called to be evangelists. Some were called to be pastors. Some teachers. And we all have distinct individual gifts. I want to make sure I quoted that right. 4:11. And he gave himself to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we're not all going to be teachers in the sense that we're going to be up here teaching a whole group of kids, whole congregation. We're all not going to be pastors. We're all not all going to be evangelists. But we all have our own different gifts. Just like I don't have a musical gift like Donovan, my brother. If you guys know Donovan, he does the worship for the church. And anytime anybody meets me, they're like, oh, so what music instrument do you play? Do we all have the same gifts? I mean, honestly. But I don't play any musical instrument other than turntables, if you guys are in, and CD players. Yeah. But he's saying, teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And we look into the Gospels of all the commandments that Jesus has given us. So many amazing commandments. But I think the most challenging is loving and spreading the word. Those are definitely the two most challenging passages for me anyways. Might be something else for you guys, but the flesh wants to come out at times, especially when people are being negative towards you. The flesh wants to come out. And then through that, you still got to show them love. The love of Christ. But also, as I was telling you this earlier this week, that, I mean, spreading the gospel. It's definitely a command I don't practice enough of. I mean, I do a good job of it, but I don't do it as often as we should. I mean, think about that. So, he's not telling you to teach people the observations of the Bible and to study the Bible in a formal setting, but individually, one-on-one, group setting maybe. Go to a coffee shop. Go to your house. Start a Bible study group. Go to a park. I mean, you could study the Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kreme, Baskin Robbins, anywhere. You study the Word of God, and it's amazing to go through it with somebody. When I was in school of ministry, if you guys know Pastor Alan Brooks, he started this program, this discipleship program. It's called the Master's Plan. I think it's a nine-week program, and it makes you get into the Word and study passages and memorize passages, and it makes you go with it through somebody else. And we're going through this in school of ministry, and interesting and awesome. I loved it, and actually now he's starting to use it more often. We're actually the guinea pigs for the Master's Plan, and it was pretty awesome. I mean, there's different tools you guys could use. I mean, if you guys got questions, look it up on your own. Ask us. But learn. Study the Word of God that you may show yourself approved. I love what Jesus says in the next half of this verse 20. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What? Jesus, this man, this God, the God, is with me. Always? What? No way. He wasn't there when this really bad situation happened. Yeah, it was. He wasn't there last night when I was in my deep sleep having those amazing dreams. He was. It speaks of his omnipresence. where he's everywhere at one time. And it's so awesome to think that he's with us right now. And he's going to be with you when you walk out that door and wherever you go and whatever you do. But even to the end of the age, who knows what the end of the age is? No. Huh? The end of the age. God will provide everything that you need.
He grew the tree that crucified Jesus, so he'll provide. Oh, the end of the age, I think when he creates a new heaven,
new earth.
When it all.
Yeah. Exactly.
The end of the age of this.
Of this as we know it.
This dispensation, I guess.
It's so stinking awesome that he's always going to be with us. The heavens and the earth are going to melt away with a white fervent heat. But we're going to be hanging out with God in all his glory, seeing him for who he truly is. What? Are you serious? Doesn't that get you excited? Doesn't heaven just get you so excited and so thrilled that you can't wait? I love what Paul says in Philippians. He says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." I want to read the rest of that because I just love that passage so much. And it's so impactful. "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet, what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Oh, how true is that? Far better than to live. But listen to what he says. In verse 24, he says, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." Isn't that incredible? Shouldn't that be the mindset that we have? Here, he's torn between two choices. Either die for Christ or live for Christ. The dying for Christ is much easier than the living for Christ. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, and the dying for Christ, not only is it easier and it's better because you get to be with God in all his glory and actually get to see Christ and what he really looks like instead of those pictures that seems like everybody's drawing and little statues that they make of him. Does that really reflect God? Does that really reflect Christ? Is that truly how he looks? No. And I can't wait to see what they look like in all their splendor and their glory. What's that? I mean, think about that. It's going to be so incredible that when we see him face to face, that we're not going to melt. That's incredible, guys. Guys, and if you guys aren't excited about Christ, I'd really say check your heart and examine your heart. If you're not a Christian today and don't know if you're going to heaven or not, I would say make that decision today. There might not be a tomorrow. There might not be a tonight. One of my students' buddies just died last week. Not very much older than you guys. And he died playing in the lake. Thing is, if you were to die today, where would you go? Don't think because you're a good person, you do good things, that you're going to go to heaven. Heaven is only gained by and comes through Jesus Christ. So if you're not a Christian, you need to make that decision to accept Christ today. Lay down your life. He laid down his life for you. start living for Him. You know, there's no secret prayer. There's no secret combination to have Christ accepted into your heart. All you need to say is that I'm a sinner and I want to start living for You. But to truly live for Christ is the most amazingly challenging thing ever. You know, what's interesting is that as I've been pouring out my heart for the past few weeks, I haven't really told you guys why, right? Well, she knows. I think you might know now. I don't know. So we look at a few past verses that we've talked about over the past few weeks. And it's pretty stinging cool and how so excited I am and how bold I'm going to be, or God's making me right now. I'm taking this humongous leap of faith here the next month. And I'm giving it all up and I'm going after Christ and I'm going to follow after Christ in Israel. And you know, it's what's more amazing is as of right now, I have no plane ticket. I have nowhere to stay. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know how I'm going to survive. I don't even know if I'm accepted into this Bible college yet. But all I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, no doubt whatsoever, is that Jesus is calling me out there. I don't know why, but Jesus is calling me out there. Maybe it's to study out at the Bible college, maybe it's not. But all I know is taking this huge leap of faith, I'm being bold, completely trusting in God, denying everything that I know, as hard as it may be, and following after Christ. Are you guys willing to follow after Christ? I mean, honestly, if it comes down to it, what if you turn 18 years old and God tells you, hey, guess what? You're going to this country that nobody ever heard of, where they don't speak English and there's no translator. Yeah, what then? Or what if he tells you to go to, we want you to go to North Korea and be persecuted to the point of martyrdom, where you die for your faith. Are you guys willing to die for Christ? Are you willing to live for Christ? You know, and that's where trust and faith in God comes in. Is just completely trusting in God. Knowing that He will give you everything that your heart desires. And everything that you need. And the parable where he talks about do not worry, it's a very good parable for life in general. So you guys could definitely keep me in prayer. It's incredible, a huge leap of faith. Oh yeah, definitely. All I know is my application's at the college and I have nothing else. So, but he keeps confirming it over and over and over and over again, continually. I can't even count how many times he's confirmed it because it's just been so much confirmation. And he's confirmed it in every way, through family members, through people, through teachings, through quiet times, through reading books, through all this. Any way possible you could think of getting confirmation, he's confirmed it. And guys, I'm so excited. And I can't help but tell many people. And it's so awesome. And in the same sense that I'm excited that I'm taking this huge leap of faith, so should we be as Christians proclaiming the name of God. I'm going to challenge you this week to mention in it. To mention the name of God, and I'm challenging myself to mention the name of God to at least one person who you never met before each day this week and see what happens. Are you guys willing for that challenge? There's a few of you. You guys down for the challenge? I think it's going to be stinking awesome. So, guys, we should be so excited about what Jesus and what God have done for us, and that the love and the grace and the mercy and the long-suffering that they have towards us. Guys, I want you guys to have such an amazing passion for God. He has an amazing passion for you guys. Father God, we just come before you, God. We just come humbly before your throne. Wretched sinners, Lord. But we thank you for your grace and for your mercy and your love for us. How you made us, white as snow. How you see us. How you see me. And you see Jesus. How that just blows my mind. How you just see me new. It's so incredible. How you take the sin-filled body and you make it whiter than snow. And if that's not good news, and if your love for us isn't good news, then I don't know what good news is. God, I pray that you would give us the boldness and the strength that we need to proclaim your name this week, Lord. Let us not be scared of proclaiming your name and what you've done for us and what you've done for the world. But let us find our strength in you. Guide us. Lord, we just put our complete trust in you, just knowing that you're in complete control. It's so incredible, Lord. Such an amazing, good, and great God. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that needs you, Lord, I pray that they would come to know you today, that they'd make that decision, that they would hear that the love that you have for us, that you have for them, would be so impacting on their lives. And I pray that if there's anybody here that they'd make that decision today, if there's anyone here today, make that known. Raise your hand. Even if you don't want to raise your hand, God knows your heart and need to ask him for forgiveness and that you're ready to stop living like the world and start living like him. And Father, just protect us as we step in this evil world. Let us be conformed more to the image of you than of the world. Let's do the things that you want us to do. Father, we just lift up this day and this week, Lord, and we just I want to follow you and be more intimately in love with you. Jesus, we love you, and we can never truly thank you enough. In your name, amen.